You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. We've just heard reporter Laura Satsui's story about baseball in the Japanese-American internment camp in Gila River, Arizona. Laura traveled to the camp for that story. And this month is the 78th anniversary of the signing of Executive Order 9066, which is the order that sent Japanese-Americans to the camps in the first place. We have Laura in the studio to talk more about the local connection between Gila River and the San Joaquin Valley. So to start, Laura, tell us about the trip. What was the impetus to go?
A lot of these internment camps have pilgrimages, and there are 10 camps in total. You know, a number of people went to different camps. Some of the camps have monuments or museums. Gila River is different because Gila River is land governed by the Gila River Indian community, and so it's not open to the public. You have to get a permit. You have to be someone either who is interned or who is a descendant of someone interned. And yet the Arizona Japanese American Citizens League organizes twice a year. They go out there, and there is a monument there to Japanese Americans who fought in World War II. And so the JACL goes out, cleans it up, you know, does any painting if there's graffiti, and they allow just other members of the public to go as part of that cleanup. And so I heard about it through Nikiko Masumoto, a local peach farmer who has relatives who were interned at Gila River. So she had been before because she was allowed. And so she asked me to go along.
And your grandparents were interned as well, right?
Yeah. So that made this kind of a really interesting personal story. My grandparents, Tak and Satoko Satsui, they were interned in their early teen years. They're Japanese Americans, obviously, but they were born here in the U.S., and it was just because their parents and grandparents were born in Japan. But they weren't interned at Gila River. They were sent to Poston, which is another camp sort of in the Arizona desert, and Jerome, Arkansas.
So you get into this a bit in the story, but what's at Gila River now? What's there?
Yeah, as we're driving through, there's not a lot. It's basically just dirt and desert. But as you're driving through, there's also a lot of agriculture, lots of orchards. I mentioned in the story that the baseball field Kenichi Zenimura created is now an olive orchard. And I want to play a little clip of the people I was in the car with, including Nikiko Masumoto. She described it this way.
We're seeing flat desert landscape with a few buttes. Some of the native plants look like they've come back. And you actually can see occasionally cement little foundations. That those are from camp.
And then as we drove up to the monument itself, it's kind of on this ridge. I was also in the car with Sean Mura. He's an artist and he does marketing in Los Angeles. And here's kind of how he described what the monument looks like as you come up to it.
At the top of the hill, there is a huge white semicircle sort of structure, an amphitheater of sorts, kind of towering above and overlooking this all the crops and all the dry land. And it's pretty striking. It's kind of the only thing that feels out of place so far.
And he says feels out of place. I want to point out because, like I said, there's like nothing there. You're almost wondering, like, were people interned here? What used to exist? It's just brush and dirt and not much else.
So can you explain who was sent to which relocation camp? Because there were a number of them.
So about 120,000 Japanese Americans were sent to these camps. Some were immigrants from Japan. Many were citizens born here. 13,000 ended up in Gila River, and it seems like people in East Fresno County, maybe from the Sanger area, those were people sent to Gila River, so that included Nikiko's grandparents. But then some Fresno Japanese Americans were sent to Jerome, Arkansas, much further away, and then south of, I think, the 180, I had a relative in Hanford who was sent to Poston, Arizona. And so it seems that somehow the state was divided up into various ways, and depending on what part of, you know, the state that you lived in or what part of the valley you lived in, even if you're a Japanese American, you were sent to a different camp. And so that's part of why so many of us went to Gila River, is because, you know, Nikiko had relatives, Sean had relatives. So many of them were like young kids or teenagers, or even people were born in the camps. So those were the kinds of people that were there.
What did it feel like to be there?
It Nikiko said this really funny thing that it was exciting to just, and bittersweet, because we were seeing the place that her ancestors had been, and then just really able to experience to some extent what they experienced. I mean, seeing that barren landscape, I can only imagine, you know, leaving your furnished home and your belongings and driving 10 hours into the middle of nowhere, this desert, and then being told, okay, you live here now. It's one of those things where I think to myself, like, I could never truly imagine what that feels like, because even on sort of our road trip, you know, we had all these luxuries and we knew we were coming home. And so, and they went to these camps not knowing when or if they would come home. And, you know, some people did die there, like older relatives and things like that. I didn't have family in Gila River, but I really, it instilled in me this feeling of like, oh, I really need to see where my grandparents were now, because I know those landscapes are a little different. It just gave me so much perspective and made me think about like what our families went through, what the government basically put some of them through, and made me think like, okay, that's really interesting. And you know, I'm still processing. Months later, I'm still processing.
Absolutely, I can only imagine. Well, thank you so much for sharing the story of your experience and for the amazing reporting you did while you were there.
Thank you so much, Kathleen.